The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
That guy's Lars Fredrickson. I'm Dennis Farrell. This is a Wrestling Perspective podcast. We are blowing through the questions today, Lars. We have a lot going on. We have the Bullet Club, Impact Tag Team Champions, Ace Austin, Chris Bay. Chris, the second time on the show. We cannot wait, but we cut the email short last week. Let's hit up as many as we can. Samuel from St. Louis. Why on earth would WWE let John Cena walk right back into Raw, destroy Ace Austin on the mic during a promo? Isn't the point of an aging superstar coming back to help put over younger talent?
Yeah, exactly. And it was honestly, it's not like John Cena needs to be put over himself. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you got an opportunity with Austin. And, who's, I feel like, the best talent that they've had in a very, very long time. I don't know if that was the right move. Although John Cena, that's not really the first time he's done it. I mean, he did that with Roman Reigns.
Bray Wyatt.
And these guys obviously, became something. I hope Austin, doesn't do any Mountain Dew fucking matches anytime. But, like, other than that, I thought it was just a bad look. Like, John Cena just, go be an actor. You know what I mean? I just don't understand what the point of that was, honestly.
And I really honestly didn't have that much of a problem of the promo up until he made the dick joke at the very end, where I kind of felt like, come on. I would have been a lot more happier with that promo if Austin Theory had the last words and walked out. It would have made the match a little bit more compelling, because we know John Cena. We know his moves. We know his mic skills. He's got talent. Sure, great. Ace is an up-and-comer. Going into WrestleMania, I feel like Ace being the champion should
have Austin.
Austin being, I got Ace on my mind.
Yeah. Austin, well, coming Ace in. Austin.
Yeah. But Austin coming in being the, I did it again, Ace, either way, him coming in being the champion, he should come in with the more heat, the more flash being on the show every week. I just didn't appreciate Cena coming in and getting the last words.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was something that was just, I literally was shaking my head the whole time going, what is going on?
Liam from Essex, listening across the pond. As a wrestling fan, where do you draw the line for interactions between fans and wrestlers, and now wrestlers and fans, with MJF's actions during Revolution throwing water on the child? It's an interesting question, though.
Oh, you know what? I love that shit. I'm sorry. I do.
I
love it.
From a fan watching standpoint, I thought it was great. From setting precedents, I'm a little bit nervous now, because does this mean you're going to see more fans throw water or throw things at wrestlers thinking it's okay? Because, listen, let's be honest, and I love our listeners, fans at independent shows are idiots. Let's be honest with ourselves. They do.
Well, they do. And I've seen video of fans doing really dumb shit on indie shows and dudes just laying them out. But I mean, how do we even know that that wasn't even a plan?
I don't know. I'm operating like it's not, but I don't want to know either. But but let's say it's
I'll tell you what, if some wrestler threw water on me and he didn't say anything to me about it, I would be legitimately probably upset. But I don't know. It was kind of funny. I mean,
it wasn't us.
Well, yeah. Well, but also I think just the fact that like, here's this guy, I mean, you got to give credit to MJF where credit is due. It's like, he believes that he kayfabes it, man. I mean, if there's one real thing in wrestling right now, you know, I would say that he is it in a lot of ways. I mean, there's obviously many others, but you know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about somebody who really lives that gimmick, it's him.
All right. We got a couple. Matt, Alex, Jake, and several others have sent emails over the past few weeks that I haven't quite got to because the last couple of sessions we had to cut short. But the gist of it is, please tell us a story about the Intercontinental Championship belt behind you, Lars. Is it a replica? Did someone give it to you? Is it CM Punk's?
No. So this is the Ultimate Warrior's, the IC belt that the Ultimate Warrior had. As you can see, the Warrior figures are above it. And it's something that I went to a belt maker, like a legit wrestling belt maker. I can't believe the name escapes me now. But I found him on Instagram and I saw a lot of the stuff that he was making, and I had some action figures that he wanted. So it was like part trade, part cash that I got it. So it's like, I said, I always wanted the yellow, but it's real. It's like, it's the WWF one. Here, hold on a second. Let me get it out.
All right. As Lars gets up. Oh, wow.
It's got the WWF logo.
Okay.
This thing is a brick. You know, this thing weighs about 15 pounds. So, and it's genuine leather. It's got the old school, you know, it's basically a replica of what the original once was. So there you have it. I hope that answered your question. You enjoyed. Because why else would you have that thing without showing it off? I didn't hear you because I had my headphones on.
I will say this from the back and the, you know, from the camera, it looked like it was the white strap. And I thought,
oh,
that's cool. So when you brought it forward and that it's that yellow, that's sexy.
No, but that's the Warriors, man.
Yeah.
You're catching the glare. But yeah, I've had it now for a few years. So look at even the back here. This is rad. You know, WWF Intercontinental. It's cool. It's such a cool belt.
We have a second. Let me ask you this, because I gave Petey some shit about this over the weekend. The Velcro on the back of championship belts now, how tacky is that? You are a billion-dollar company, and I get sometimes it's hard to, you know, snap, but you're a professional. You know, let's not do Velcro. The Velcro looks tacky.
Yeah, I don't like the Velcro.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for the emails, wrestlingperspective@gmail.com. Feel free to email us any questions you have, your hot takes, whatever you want. We will at least read them. We'll get them on the air as fast as we can. Thank you so much, by the way, to Fightful for hosting us. If you're watching on Fightful, go to our social media stuff and follow us. We have some great past Lars Fredrickson, myself, Wrestling Perspective. Our YouTube page, where you can catch a bunch of past interviews we did that you can't find on Fightful. So go over there, throw us a subscription, a like, a click. What do they say on smash that subscribe button?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I want to give away a few issues of some Pro Wrestling Illustrateds. So maybe we can do like a little contest. So maybe we can do the question of the week. We'll have the future, and then maybe in the future, you're going to get something from Lars's personal wrestling collection. So how about this? How about, and that can range from anything from whatever, maybe a Bret Hart NWO card.
Ooh.
Right. Or it could be, let's see here. Well, that's all I really want to get away.
But maybe we
do something like that.
I can't wait for Dennis from Michigan to win something. He emails every week.
Oh, guys, he's a pain in my ass, though.
All right.
You know what? How about this Undertaker mask? Hold on. We can give away this Undertaker mask.
Oh my goodness. Can you do the interview with that thing on?
Hang on.
Hey. Listen.
Here we go. It even matches my sweatsuit.
Will you take us out into the Bullet Club interview with a little rest in peace?
Just want me to say rest in peace?
Well, do it. Do your best. Rest in peace. You got the mask on. You might as well take us out as the Undertaker.
Rest in peace.
God, I love it. All right, guys. Bullet Club coming right up. We'll see you in a second. Lars Fredrickson, this podcast just got a little too sweet, my friend. I am super excited. We have the Impact Tag Team Champions, Bullet Club members, Ace Austin, Chris Bay. Chris, this is your second time on the podcast. Look at that showing out right there.
Yeah, man, big flexer.
Wow. First of all, thank you guys so much for making a time out of your Bullet Club schedule to come sit with us. I'm sure you're busy doing Bullet Club stuff. Do you guys like have Bullet Club meetings? Do you guys, you know, how's that work?
Like, it's a little hard to do that when we're also spread out amongst the industry. I don't know. We have annual meetings, but not regular meetings.
Yeah, we've got to set up Zoom calls like this to get all of us since we're all spread all the way around in different time zones, though. Sometimes it's the middle of the night, sometimes it's the top of the morning. You never know.
Well, I want to start this out with Chris. I was there when you joined the Bullet Club, which was a huge pop moment during that pay-per-view. Super excited, super crazy. But you were one of the major factors of bringing New Japan and Impact together. How important was that for you to bring these two companies together? Was that in your mind that you were going to try to bring these guys together? How did that come about?
Yeah. So, joining Bullet Club, I realized that there was now this opportunity for me to be this rebuilding bridge with Impact and New Japan to help rebuild their working relationship. So I understood how important it was for me to just knock it out of the park so that not only myself and other Bullet Club members could eat, you know, sell more Bullet Club merch across brands, but also so more Impact talent could also do the same and New Japan talent could come across to Impact. And I knew that it was a huge responsibility on my shoulders, but also know that, you know, I'm a pressure player. So when the pressure's on, that's when I thrive the hardest. So I knew it was going to be a great opportunity for me to earn some trust within my company, earn some trust with New Japan, and help all of us, get on a better working relationship.
Well, you know, both of you guys are very accomplished singles competitors. I mean, you know, the history will show that you guys are just talented individuals coming together to make this tag team at this point, now draped with the, you know, Impact World Tag Team Championships. I mean, was this something that was like conscious? Were you thinking about like, partnering up? I mean, both of you guys. I mean, I know that you've done tags in other scenarios, but becoming this solid of a team.
Yeah. No, I think really it's like we were both on some really strong individual paths. And then when I got sent out for Best of Super Juniors, it was kind of just like a whole lot of things sort of just fell into place in a really strange way. There wasn't really a whole lot of, you know, planning and plotting behind the scenes about me joining Bullet Club. It was almost an opportunity thing, you know, like Jay White was aware of my presence from his time in Impact with Chris. And then when I was out there for Super Juniors and we kind of crossed paths, yeah, it was just like a really opportunistic sort of thing. So when that happened for me and I came home, it was like no prior conversation. It was almost just like we looked at each other and we were like, it's us now. It, as far as Impact representation goes, like it's us.
Yeah. So, yeah. the Good Brothers were still the Impact World Tag Team Champions at the time. So, you know, there was no need to seek out these championships at the moment. But as soon as they lost the championships and Bullet Club needed to regain the titles, you know, and they went over to do what they're doing currently in WWE, me and Ace both knew, you know, it was only a matter of time before we had these championships. We knew that if anybody was going to be a dominant tag team, it'd be the two most dominant people in the X division on our roster who were separate at the time. We knew that, you know, joining together, the tag team division was just going to have a hole that we were going to fill and we were going to punch our way straight to the top.
How much say do you guys have now? You are in Impact. You are under a New Japan Pro Wrestling stable. Do you guys have much say in what direction you want the Bullet Club in Impact to go?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of say in everything we do. You know, we weren't brought into Bullet Club to be just like banner guys, you know, like we weren't, it's not like, yeah, we're brought in because of the direction that him and I are headed in the industry. So we still get to do that. We still get to aspire to our goals, you know?
Yeah. I think we also have a good handle on what's hot right now because we're both young, you know, like we're the youngest members in Bullet Club, I believe as well. And, you know, because of that, we know not only just what's hot because we are wrestling currently, but because we are this new wave and this new generation of wrestlers that are taking over the game. So like, you know, the companies trust us also in that sense to direct them into what will be popping next. You know, I think we have a good hand on it.
Well, you know, being in this stable that crosses so many promotions, I mean, you know, I can't recall of one that has done what the Bullet Club has done. Just being part of that history, do you feel like it elevates you as a talent, just being part of that, you know, band, so to speak?
Yeah, it gives us the opportunity to show the world on a bigger stage who we are, because, you know, people still subscribe to Bullet Club who may have heard of Ace Austin and Chris Bay and haven't, you know, given us the proper chance to watch us before, or people who were watching us already who, you know, knew about Bullet Club and wasn't too interested in Bullet Club. So it works both ways, where we get new people who are longtime fans of the group who then want to support us. And then we got our people who are already supporting us who, you know, maybe couldn't care about the group recently and now they're reinvested in the group. You know, I think Bullet Club's the best pro wrestling faction that ever existed, if you ask me. You know, we're running 10 years right now. We've done so much in the industry and it's only still growing, you know. So I think that there's a lot of eyes on us and we're growing that division up, and that reassuring that Bullet Club isn't going anywhere. It's here to stay.
Yeah, no, it was pretty like, oh no, it's okay. Yeah, it was pretty definitely you could feel the shift, you know, when you're recruited into something like Bullet Club, you can sort of feel the shift in the eyes on you. You know, you're representing something different now, something more than yourself. So yeah, it all ties.
Now, Chris, when the Bullet Club came in, I think most of us fans at least thought, all right, they'll show up for a month, they'll do their thing, then they'll disappear, kind of the wrestling way of life. Now, it feels like they've been in Impact now forever. Are you shocked at how long the presence for Bullet Club with the working relationship with Impact has, I guess for both of you guys, has maintained itself within that company?
I'm not necessarily shocked because I know that, you know, Impact has been around for a long time, you know, 20 plus years at this point. I know that they plan to be around forever. So anything that we stick our hands in is going to have some longevity to it. And for myself as well, you know, I didn't expect this to be a short term thing. I almost didn't think it was real when it was first happening. You know, I had asked Jay White a couple times, like, you sure this is, you know, like, you know, everybody just jump me in a couple months when I turn my back, right? Just kick me out, right? That's not what we're doing here, right? But like, you know, he assured me that, you know, he had a vision, and I had to trust in his vision and also trust in my abilities to execute and help execute this vision for the long term. But I didn't think that it was going to be short. I thought maybe my tenure would have been short, you know, but I knew that what he had planned was going to stretch for a long amount of time. And I'm glad that I'm still a part of that. I'm holding proof right next to me right now. You know, we had the tag titles last year with the Good Brothers having them. And now we have the tag titles with me and Ace having them. Bullet Club is owning these championships. We're going to own every championship in pro wrestling. We represent every company in pro wrestling. This is never going away. This is something that's going to last forever, in my opinion.
There's a strong correlation, I think, between like look at Impact Wrestling as a whole, right? The whole idea is Impact Wrestling has always been hard to kill, right? It's something that has existed through adversity, against all odds, no matter what. And Bullet Club is the very same. Bullet Club is impossible to kill. It's something that has existed through so much, through adversity, through switches, through changes, and despite anything, it has existed and it has remained powerful despite anything. So I think the brain of something like Bullet Club, that's the reason why the tenure wasn't short in Impact Wrestling, because Bullet Club, the roots, they have to go deep. They have to spread wide. So of course, it's a place where there's got to be roots.
Well, there's a certain aesthetic, with the Bullet Club, and you know, members come and go. Obviously, as these members go to other companies, maybe not take part in Bullet Club stuff or whatever. How is it decided who fills that role? Who makes the decisions?
It's a great question. I think it's whoever wants to step up, you know. All of us are capable of steering the ship, you know. Some of us enjoy just being passengers and doing our part as passengers to protect the ship. And it's whoever just feels on that day particular, I feel like, to step up. Ace, you want to tap in on this one?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Gato also is like obviously a huge you know, he's like kind of the forefather figure, almost, you know, within Bullet Club. He's the blacksmith, right? You know what I'm saying? Yep. Him and Jay White's relationship was very clear, very strong. So it's almost like, I don't want to say it's just like up to Gato, you know, because it's not quite like that, but it's really like Gato's got that strong influence. So it's kind of, yeah, I mean, whoever's got that position, whoever steps up to that position.
Who's got a big appetite today, boys?
Ace, I want to say maybe I've been watching you for 8 or 9 years now. I don't remember the exact math, but you've come up to a couple indie promotions here in Michigan. I saw you with, you know, when I was kind of following Petey Williams around. And in that time, you were still a young guy. You're still a young guy now, and you have so much already accomplished. You were in one the greatest stable in wrestling, Impact Tag Team Champions. You've held various belts all over. Are you still kind of young enough where maybe you don't appreciate it as much as you would if you were 38 or 39, and you keep feeling like the accomplishments will keep coming and just keep bringing them on?
Absolutely. No, 100%. You're on the money with that. I've said it before, I'm a three-time X Division champion, and that's still not fully. Yeah, that's something that I fully, not that I don't appreciate it. It's just something that I don't know how to appreciate fully yet, because I haven't had, that long of a time. 8 years actually is coming up. April 4th will be my 8-year anniversary as a pro wrestler. So, those times you saw me in the Michigan area, that was probably right when I was really making my biggest impact in the industry and turning those eyeballs on me and getting the attention that I needed to get my contracts and get my name out there. That's why I was spending time up there in the Michigan area. I was Sammy Callahan was one of my mentors. So anytime he was driving to an Impact show, I was in the car with him, showing face and trying to make connections and get an opportunity. So, yeah, that's kind of how that all fell into place for me.
When I look at you both and your success, I see it's because of the opportunities that you've had to go to other places, which, you know, the wrestling landscape now is completely different than, let's say, 15 years ago. I mean, you have a Japanese company on American TV. You have a lot more educated fans, you know, thanks to the tape traders. And I got to give a nod to them. But do you think it's possible? Because I feel like a lot of wrestlers, especially the younger wrestlers, and you guys, and I would leave you out of the conversation, but do you feel like they get fast-tracked to a position before that they're ready, as opposed to what you guys have been doing is soiling your oats across many different companies, small indies, Japanese, you know, you learn to work these places. Do you feel, or have you seen, or do you have an opinion about the fast tracking of younger talent who might not be ready for that kind of exposure, A, and B, situation that they get themselves into?
Yeah, I see that for sure. And I think that's how you really learn to sink or swim, you know? You got to get thrown into that position in order to see who's ready to do it. Sometimes you don't have forever to wait for something to happen. So the quicker you get to it can be better. But the problem with that is that the more the pace quickens for everybody, the more we have room for bad quality to slip through as well, which then, like you said, you know, the tape traders and our fans being smarter now, it can also dilute what our fans are seeing and how they also receive the product now, and then sometimes their standard can lower. But that also works out in a lot of people's benefit, because if you're really good, or if you actually just have it, you know, you'll stand out to them that much more, and you'll be able to you know, stand apart from those who maybe had the same speed to get to where you're at but can't keep up and stay where you're at. And that's what determines different longevities in this business. I see it all the time. I feel like now with a lot of companies, with a lot of young people who get opportunities who haven't maybe been doing it forever. And they there's a lot of things that they need to work on, and more things than not. And for that, you know, some people will just become accepting of it. Some fans are just like, this is what it is. And then other fans then have an issue with it and go, you know, this isn't great quality. What happened to the days of this? I missed the days of that. I missed the things of that. So it can be tough as a talent to navigate that. And it can be tough as a viewer also to, you know, understand, especially with everyone being so smart now, understand that there's a lot of work to be done. And are we going to keep leniency here?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Are we going to, you know, call it like it is?
Yeah, a lot of work to be done is a perfect way to say it. I think that that's like the big issue with the fast tracking is like, I was trained by the Wild Samoans initially, so I come from a really strong foundation of earning it. So I think there is a lack of that. There is a severe lack of earning it in today's climate right now. There's a lot of opportunities being like presented and passed around to these fast-tracked, you know, individuals who, not only do they, to the point we were talking about before, not only do they like not really know how to appreciate the opportunity that they have in front of them, but they don't have the common sense yet. Like the wrestling common sense to really know how to handle what they're in, like what they're involved in. And you can't blame them for it. Like you're not going to say no to an opportunity like that. Right. Like if I was in that position, I wouldn't have said no, of course, but there should be there should definitely be some more of a focused intention with some of that.
Well, we need to I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, please.
I was going to say we need to get the people who come before us on a better page to help out the younger people to make sure that they understand the importance of what's in front of them and also can carry on the traditions and the legacies of how to properly execute it, you know.
Well, cuz that I wanted to piggyback this question because it's very interesting what we're talking about right now, especially for me as a fan, is because you know, Ace Austin, Chris Bay getting to the Bullet Club, you know that they're not bullshit. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's this level that has been maintained here. So as soon as a guy gets, and it's like, it's so rare now that just by you guys being in the Bullet Club, I know that you guys are worth a shit, right? And I know that the way that Japanese wrestling works, there has to be a story told. There has to be psychology, right? There has to be certain elements. You know, you can get fast tracked and if you got all the charisma and know how to work, God bless you, right? Like I'm sure we would all agree on that.
Sure.
I guess what I wanted to ask to follow it up is, you know, when you get into the ring maybe with somebody who's a lot greener and just knows the spot fests or all these things and doesn't know how to tell the story, do you take that opportunity? Because Ace, tell me, how many matches have you had?
Let's see, as of this past weekend, I'll tell you the exact number. It's right here. Hold on.
Give them the number, baby.
We're talking about 836 matches.
Right, and you also remember every one of them, don't you?
I wouldn't say that. I definitely don't. I'm telling you, sometimes I'll read a line and I'm like, I could not remember a thing about working with that person at all.
Well, we've you know, the three of us have had the opportunity, minus Dennis, I'm sorry, Dennis, to take this over. But we've been talking about, you know, you knocked yourself out one time in a match, but you got through it, right? Because you instinctively knew what to do, right? Some guys might not be able to do that. You know, that was my whole point here. It's like, ask the question again. When you get into somebody or get into a situation with guys who are maybe greener, do you take that time and let them know, hey, we're going to slow it down or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's not just going to be this. It's got to mean something.
Yeah, I think a really great thing that we get to do as part of the Impact Wrestling roster is we get to independently continue to pursue whatever we want. So we get to take independent bookings and work with talent that is, you know, as you said, a lot greener or, you know, just maybe not as exposed or just whatever, newer, whatever you want to call it. We get to work with a lot of people. And for them, it's an incredible opportunity to be able to learn. And we have to be willing to do that. And I mean, I know that both of us, he'll have more to say, I'm sure, but I know that both of us are similar in the way that we want to kind of impart our style. We try not to be like, okay, we're going to teach you a lesson today. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. We just want people to, we want to work well with people so that they learn what it's like to work with people on the next level. Because I mean, that's how you learn. That's how I came up, was working with people better than you elevates you. You learn how to work the way that they work, and then you start to find your own flavor, your own style. So it's like, yeah, that's, we get to do that.
Yeah. Like you said, it's important for me as a talent to give people the game that we're getting, because we're getting it right now, you know, in real time. It's not knowledge that we learned 10 years ago. It's not knowledge that we learned 5 years ago. It's a collection of knowledge that we've learned throughout the duration of our careers, but it's also the freshest knowledge of what's going on right now in the scene, you know. And the best way for people to learn is to actually get in there and feel it, so you can understand what it is. You know, we have a school here locally that I train at, and sometimes I do some teaching at. This is where I came up at Future Stars of Wrestling. And, you know, I came up under D'Lo and Kenny King and Sen Bodhi, and, you know, the list goes on. But, you know, we have a young guy there, 15 years young, and I just wrestled him last month on the show. And, you know, he's amazing. He's going to be, you know, a big star in this business, you know, when he comes of age and grows into his body and all that good stuff. And I've watched this kid since he was really young train. But it was very important to me that I got in the ring with him, you know, on a live show and had a match in front of a live crowd with him last month, because I know that there's stuff that he needs to learn that I can teach him by being in the ring with him. Like you said, you know, like, this is where we go slow. This is where we create a moment right here. You don't have to destroy your body every single night out there. You don't have to just go out there and have a spot fest in order to make people believe in what we're doing, or make people interested in what we're doing, or keep people coming back. And I think through the course of the match that we had, you know, he learned a lot that he can now take and hopefully do what I do, which is, you know, give it on to the next person. And he can now do that even in his position from the one opportunity he got from being in the ring with myself. So like, it's very important that we get to pass that knowledge on.
Yeah, the younger, less experienced people, like, you got to think they usually look to us when we're in that situation. They usually look to us for that knowledge. So, you know, so yeah, to answer your question, we do get to say and do those things with the younger, less experienced talent that we get to work with.
You look at other successful stables, and just one off the top of my head, Evolution. They bring in a young Randy Orton and a young Batista, and all of a sudden these guys become superstars, and it's happened all over. Bullet Club brings you guys in for a reason. We all know why. Now the doors open to this wealth of knowledge that you guys may not have been able to get anywhere else. Yeah. What so far has been some of the best advice or some of the lessons you may have learned just by being part of the Bullet Club and that access?
Honestly, the two things that I can think about off the top of my head that has gone the furthest with me, especially being around, you know, Gallows and Anderson, and then being ringside and on the apron and a part of like Jay White matches, is, you know, take it all in for sure, you know, and letting those moments, you know, fester. But also, you know, crowd control. Those guys have really great crowd control, and that's our business. You know, it's entertainment at the end of the day. It's selling tickets. It's entertaining people. So if you can master the art of crowd control, the rest is almost cake. You know, like, of course, it's going to be hard work, but that's what we train for. That's what we put in all the hours for. That's why we've wrestled the number of matches that we wrestle. That's why we stay consistent wrestling independently and on Impact Wrestling every week, you know, Access TV. It's all there for the reps, but like, that crowd control is unbeatable. you know, and being in the Bullet Club, having the fans that Bullet Club has globally, you know, you say too sweet and everybody's going crazy. Okay, so where do I put this in my repertoire in order to, you know, blend this with me, but also get some crowd control here? Like, honestly, just that crowd control and taking it all in and making everything feel larger than life, even if it's the simplest thing, is what I've really taken from it.
Yeah, what a great way to put it. Yeah, no, as far as in-ring goes, that's a really great way to put it. Yeah, that's 100% what it's like. Outside of the ring, I would say that one of the biggest takeaways for me is just the is how to handle yourself globally, how to handle yourself on a level above one company, one place, one state. Like the being a part of something like Bullet Club is like it's more than a single mentor. It's literally a club of people, and unless you cross, like unless you get on the inside, there are international secrets, literally international secrets that you don't get to learn without getting into a position like Chris and I are in. Those Japan tours that I've done have been just life-changing in that way. It's like, it's just a way to how to handle yourself as a superstar in a global way. I mean, it just, yeah, it's a total elevation.
I remember we did that finals in the tag league, and I remember sitting on the top rope during the entrance and just looking out into the sea of people for like 3 minutes, just standing on the top rope, and then just coming over you and being like, bro, look at all this shit. Like, I was just, like, seldomly do I ever actually just like out there in the moment, take in the moment, you know, like, but I remember walking over you and being like, bro, look at all this shit. Like, you see all these people up here, like, this shit is, like, we're in it, know, right now. Like,
and what's funny about that is you and I had that moment there at the finals for Junior Tag League. I had another moment similar to that at the end of my first tour. After I joined Bullet Club, and then Jay White wins the IWGP World title, and Bullet Club hits the ring with the beers, and we're celebrating, and there's confetti, and there's thousands of people, and LG looks at me, and he goes, it's damn cool, isn't it? Like, you know, we had, it was one of those things where he just kind of gave me that, like, hey, make sure you soak this.
Yeah,
you know, because this is something. So yeah, it was really a good way to like snap me back in. But hey, you're a part of this. You're really a part of this.
Yeah.
Do you find that? I mean, that's super awesome. And you know, I was thinking one of the questions, because it's very rare that we've had tag teams together on this show before, but you know, I don't think it's been that many times, maybe twice, Dennis.
Maybe, if that.
You know, because we've had Gallows and Anderson.
A couple times.
Had FTR now with you guys.
Yep.
What is it? I mean, do you guys prefer one or the other as far as singles or the tag team? Or is it just kind of like, what is the now? That's kind of what I want to do. You know, where are you at with that? Because I'm a tag team guy. I love the tag teams. I always have. Where are you guys at with it?
If you have the right partner, tag team wrestling is sweet. You know, I'm more on that second part that you said, where it's like, what's the right now? You know, like growing up, I also really love tag teams. And a lot of my favorite wrestlers were very successful singles wrestlers who also had great tag team runs, you know, like even in Impact, you know, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley being the Motor City Machine Guns before they were Motor City Machine Guns. I loved Chris Sabin, you know, as a singles wrestler, I loved Chris Sabin, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed his work, you know, and he wrote over at WWE, you know, like guys like Randy Orton and Edge coming from Edge and Christian, you know, Randy Orton coming from Evolution, like you mentioned, but then Rated RKO coming together, you know, like this stuff is sick. You know, if you have the right partner, things can be awesome. And through Bullet Club, I've had a lot of great partners, you know, teaming with LP, he's a rock star, you know, teaming with Jay White, and now being teamed with Ace Austin. I knew it as soon as he joined Impact, as soon as he joined Bullet Club, and you know, the tag team division was getting thin, I was like, man, you know, you put us two together, we're going to run it. You know, like I've always been a fan of his work from the outside and even sharing the ring with him as an opponent. So like, you know, put us on the same team. This can be awesome. This is going to translate great. And a lot of fans put it into perfect words where they all share the same sentiment of this is the team we never knew we needed, but we're so glad that we got. And I feel the same way, you know, as him being my partner. I love tag team wrestling. If Ace is my tag team partner, you know, like shout out Chase Owens too. You know, we teamed a couple months ago for the first time and, you know, it was cool, whatever, but like Ace Austin's my tag team partner, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I cut a promo about it after the match. Like, yeah, that was cool. But like, wait till I bring my real tag team partner.
Yeah. And yeah. Chase's partner is Fale usually. So I'm sure exactly, for him, it was like, you know, it's an experience trying to mix up something you're used to, you know? And I think to kind of wrap this question into something we talked about before about, you know, Chris and I coming together, it's like, we both, we're both very conscientious of what we're capable of individually. And we're not looking at this tag team thing as an opportunity to like almost lessen, you know what I mean? We're not looking to kind of combine forces so that individually we have to work less hard, if that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's completely the opposite. It was him and I were such great adversaries on opposite ends of the the X division that we had this incredible respect for each other's style and each other's game that when the opportunity to put that together came along, it was almost like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, of course, like there was no like, oh, well, this is going to get in the way of my individual goals. I don't know if I want to do this. There was never any moment like that. We know that our individual goals are still within reach, and they always will be as long as we keep our mind on them. But part of our individual goals is that Triple Crown, Grand Slam. We want to be a huge part of the history. And the only way to do that is to find somebody that you can at some point rely on and team with. So as you were saying, this is the now for us. We love singles competition. We love being in the spotlight. But the now for us right now is this spotlight, is the tag team environment that we were able to conquer.
Many great tag teams right now too. Like, we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't get a chance to get in the ring with all these great tag teams. If we were just solo wrestlers, you know, like, we can still do that independently.
Individually, we're still getting all of the experience and achievements, accolades. We're achieving everything individually still together, if that makes sense.
Did you see FTR tweet a picture of these belts not long ago? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting, to say the least.
Oh, boy, that's going to get headlines. Dirt sheets, get your fatty little fingers typing, baby, because we got dirt there. I got to ask you, Chris. How long before Ace got inducted into the Bullet Club did you know that that was an option? Did you have to keep it secret? Because I have a feeling they probably came to you and said, hey, what do you think about this guy? Should we bring him in? What was that process like of, you know, basically knowing or being asked about him?
Yeah. I may or may not have knew before him, you know. I may or may not have knew before him because we have to have these Bullet Club powwows, you know. And, when they presented the idea, what do you think about Ace? I thought it's a great addition, you know. I ain't a stingy person, so like him coming into Bullet Club for me wasn't like, no, he's gonna steal my spot, you know. I'm the young guy. I was like, sweet. Do it. He's a great talent, and like we're gonna make a lot of money together. You know, we're gonna make a lot of money together. We're gonna make a lot of moments together. So I probably knew a little bit before he was brought into the group, and I'm glad that they asked my opinion on it, because my opinion has not only not changed, but it's also gone so far as to bring us World Tag Team Championships. Because of my lack of selfishness and my interest in wanting to have him a part of the group. I love Ace, and I always have. Before Bullet Club, you know, before I even was signed to Impact, he was someone that was inspiring me, you know, like he was the young guy that they signed and you could tell that they had hopes for, and he was going to be the prospect, and I was chasing the contract at the time, and I was like, man, this guy is doing exactly what I want to do. Like, I need to keep up and or work harder than this guy, you know. Like, it wasn't ever like a, oh, he's got my spot. It's like, nah, he's doing what I want to do, but I knew that we could both do it, you know. Like, I knew that if I take my journey and he continues his journey, we'll meet somewhere along the journey. So like, when they say, yeah, what about Ace? I'm like, yes, let's do it. That's a great addition to the group. There's nobody like him, you know. Sometimes in groups you get two people who are too similar, you know. And mm-hmm. as much as you could just say, oh, Ace and Bay are high flyers, Ace and Bay are X division guys, we're two different types of guys, you know? So like, it works out perfectly fine. And it gives our fans at Impact Wrestling something to see that they can claim as their own.
Man, it's crazy. We just, Chris and I just in Vegas the other weekend, we just went back and watched an explosion match. Me versus him in when was it, September 2019, right?
19, yeah,
something like that. It was an explosion. It was the only time that Impact has gone to California since I've been with them for tapings, and we had this explosion match, and just like you said, with that selflessness, I didn't see that as an opportunity to like squash out a talent that was looking for an opportunity. I saw that as an opportunity to like mix it up with a promising talent that was on the way up, and that's what we treated the match like. I treated you with respect and you treated me with respect, and we had a really awesome match. Watching it back, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. And that carried through for years.
That game that you were getting for the 6 or 7 months you were already with the company and all the experience you had at the time, that game you were getting, you passed along in that match, you know, working with me, whether you know it or not. And, you know, you did your job the same way we were talking about earlier, doing our job for the younger guys. I was the younger guy in that scenario, even though I'm a year older than you. I was the younger guy in that scenario that you were giving the game to throughout the course of that match, man.
Hell yeah.
Lars, do you have any more questions?
I think we've had a pretty extensive rad interview.
I will say this. The one thing the Bullet Club doesn't have that I think Lars and I can fill is they don't have podcasters. So I'm just pitching this right now. Maybe you can take this up to the Bullet Club ladder. Bullet Club podcasters. Think about it. I'm not saying I need an answer right now. I'm just saying Lars and I can throw up the two sweet every podcast and represent. That's it.
We could be podcast club.
Oh,
ooh. Do that.
Yeah,
just hey, sounds like money to me.
There's always money when you put the club and when you involve the club. There's always money involved.
Just
we'll talk to our people. You know,
yeah.
A little inevitable finessing.
A little bit of that.
I like where your head is. Hey, listen, Impact Wrestling. Check your local listings. Go over to their YouTube page. Subscribe over there because they've got some great stuff from the past, from current stuff. Bullet Club. Go just Google Bullet Club and find it. If you're lived under a rock and you don't know anything about the Bullet Club, if you're like one of those NWO guys and you're like, "Who's this Bullet Club?" Just Google them. Go over there. Ace, Chris, where can they find you guys?
Ace, please.
Sure. Before we get to our individual stuff, I do want to mention Impact Plus does have all of my Best of Super Junior run and our Super Junior Tag League run all on Impact Plus. It's all available on Impact Plus. So if you don't have New Japan World and you don't want to look through the individual shows, they have just our stuff specifically up on the Impact Plus app. So definitely check that out. I consider Best of Super Junior some of my absolute best singles work of all time. And Super Junior Tag League was an unbelievable opportunity for us to literally learn day by day in like the land of the best wrestling in the world, how to be a great tag team. So I think that's a really cool thing to watch. So all that's up on Impact Plus. Me personally, I am at @the_Ace_Austin on both Twitter and Instagram. I do have a YouTube channel, Ace Austin. I'm not very active on it, but I'm hoping to be more active on it at some point. So you can check that out, I suppose. Cameo, I have that. I think that's kind of it for me.
Yeah. And for myself, you know, Ace already mentioned Impact Plus. And you can get the Ultimate Insiders, you know, on YouTube for 99 cents a month. You can get the commercial free episodes of Impact Wrestling every Thursday. If you don't have Access TV, you know, you can do that. But if you want to just find me at Dash and Chris Bay, that's B-E-Y, not B-A-E, for the single ladies who are going to be watching this, you know, Dash and Chris Bay, shout out the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, you know, too sweet to him for the dashing. Shout out Cody Rhodes, Dash and Chris Bay on Instagram, Twitter, on YouTube. I'm Chris Bay on there. You can find vlogs all the way up from when I was 12 years old to 14 years young. Itty Bitty Bay unboxing TNA replica belts on there. And now modern day videos of me reviewing real ring used Impact championships. You can find my music on every streaming platform where you find music, Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Pandora, YouTube, SoundCloud, wherever you're at. Chris Bay on there as well. Listen to my music, listen to the albums that are out, watch my music videos. And I'm not on Cameo. They have finessed me out of a deal. I'm not on Cameo, but it's all good. It's all love. You can find me on social media. I usually respond on there. Dash and Chris Bay.
Check out the Chris Bay music. Seriously. It gets me hype. It gets me hype like nothing else. I'm telling you, I've said it to him out there. We're walking out and sometimes I'm just like, oh, feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Lars, you say you have?
I have, you know, and that's the one. Yeah, of course I have. But, you know, when I'm a fan of somebody, I go in, you know what I mean? I want to know things, you know, and that's so, and that was one of the things that I regret not bringing up. I'm an asshole.
Well, so, we'll go to commercial break.
I appreciate it.
And we'll go to commercial break. We'll do the final 2 hours of this interview in about 3 minutes. But listen, for everybody at home, the show is over. Wrestling Perspective Podcast. Make sure you go watch it. Fightful, thank you so much for hosting our videos there. But make sure you go follow everything Wrestling Perspective. What is it? Dashing Wrestling Perspective now?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's see. You didn't quite jump at the
I believe it's called. I believe it's called Podcast Club at the Wrestling Perspective / Let's wrap it up.
Connectinfringement.com. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.